I've got a heart that's full of faith-filled helplessness. There are mountains ahead that I can't move by myself. But I know when I'm weak, He's strong. When I can barely breathe, there's still a song. Even though it's hard right now, I'm not here on my own. So when it seems it can't be done, I know God is big enough. I can run the race I'm called to run, 'cause I know God is big enough. He'll finish everything He starts. He'll meet us right here where we are. And I can feel faith rising up, 'cause I know God is big enough. On the days when the shadows of doubt make me feel small, I declare that I don't stand in my strength at all. 'Cause I won't live a day You didn't plan. Every single moment is in Your hands. Even if the whole world shakes, You're the rock on which I stand. So when it seems it can't be done, I know God is big enough. I can run the race I'm called to run, 'cause I know God is big enough. He'll finish everything He starts. He'll meet us right here where we are. And I can feel faith rising up, 'cause I know God is big enough. Bigger than the fear that surrounds me, bigger than the chains that bound me, bigger than the story my past could tell. Bigger than the weight of tomorrow, bigger than the hurt and the sorrow, bigger than the lies I've told myself. So when it seems it can't be done, I know God is big enough. I can run the race I'm called to run, 'cause I know God is big enough. He'll finish everything He starts. He'll meet us right here where we are. And I can feel faith rising up, 'cause I know God is big enough. 'Cause I know God is big enough.
That was excellent, wasn't it? Thank you, ladies. I'd like to hear some more special singing this year in chapel. We had almost none last year, and that was probably our own doings. We didn't really welcome it, didn't really invite it, but I'd like to invite that this year and get some more people up there to sing and be an encouragement. And you know, if you're a singer, you can get with Sister Shay. Maybe she can play, or maybe Miss Christina could play for you. We'll see. And we'd love to hear from you, Alexandra. We'd love to hear from you. It'd be such a blessing. We're begging, we're pleading, we're asking. We'd love to hear from some of you people that can sing. And there's more that can sing than just these three girls and Alex, and there's some of you guys that sing and this and that. And also, I would not be opposed if we have some instrumentalists that want to play a special. Miss Christina, we can allow for that too. You just prepare and let us know when you're ready. We're glad to do that. And so that'd be a blessing. Okay, back to Proverbs 1. Stand, please, if you're able. Please stand if you're able. Sister Haley, can I ask a huge favor? Will you close that door right there? I'm a closed door guy, and that's going to distract me the whole time I'm up here talking and make my OCD go crazy. All right, so we're back in Proverbs 1. I'm checking all the lights. They're all working out there. That helps my OCD. All right, good. Proverbs chapter 1. Last week, We began talking about the subject of what? Thank you, sir. Excellent. Instruction. And we talked about the nature of an instructor. We talked about the personality and the methods and some of those things of an instructor. And we learned last week that instructors, they don't have to be your friend. They just have to get a job done. And the sad news about an instructor or instruction is that they don't have to like you, but you have to like them. They don't have to please you, but you have to please them. And the Lord has placed certain instruction in our lives and certain people in our lives. And thankfully, there are instructors who do not abuse their pupils, do not abuse their power. And that's always a good thing because you've had teachers, and I've had teachers coming up in my elementary and high school career and all that kind of stuff. Man, I had teachers that all they wanted was just to make life miserable. And when I became a teacher, I made my mind up, whatever I was going to be, I was not going to be like that. And so that seems to have helped me down through the years. But when we look at the subject of biblical instruction, when we look at the matter of how this operates and how this works, especially in a young person's life, we chose Proverbs chapter number 1 as kind of a springboard into a series of messages that we're going to be bringing here on the subject of instruction. And then after that, we'll pick another subject in Proverbs and move on to that. But there's quite a bit of information, come to find out, about the topic of instruction in the book of Proverbs. And the reason we know it's important is because in that very important opening chapter, he mentions instruction 4 times. So let's read our passage. This is the same passage we were in last week. I'll read it again, and this time we're going to look at really one of the first thoughts in this series on the subject of instruction. We introduced it last week. This week we're digging in. Okay, so Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1. You ready? Say amen. Ooh, that was weak. That was weak. Get ready. Get ready. Some of you wasn't ready. Are you getting ready? Okay, are you ready now? All right, if you're ready and you see it, say amen. Oh, much better. Okay, I feel better. All right, verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the king, a son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and, here's our first occurrence, instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase in learning. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord, verse 7, is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. I'm going to stop there. You can be seated. Keep your Bibles open. I want to point out some words. We have the 4 occurrences of the word instruction, the first in verse 2, the second in verse 3, the third in verse 7, and the fourth in verse 8. Do you see all of those? I want to point out some more words today, and we're going to talk about the witnesses of instruction, the witnesses. Now, as we look at this passage of Scripture, if you underline in your Bible, I want you to underline the next words. Are you ready? If you'll look in verse number 2, underline the word wisdom. Underline the word wisdom. If you're taking notes, you can just write it out. I want you to mark that word, wisdom, verse number 2. Also in verse number 2, at the end of the verse, I want you to underline the word understanding. Look at that word, understanding. And then verse 3, we have 3 more. The second half of verse number 3, he says to receive instruction of the instruction of wisdom. Here's our words, justice and judgment and equity. Underscore those words, justice and judgment and equity. Verse number 4, underline the word subtlety, S-U-B-T-I-L-T-Y. Underline that word subtlety. All right. And then also in verse number 4, underline the two words at the end of the verse, knowledge and discretion. Now, these are the witnesses of instruction. These are the witnesses of instruction. Okay? The witnesses. Now, here's what I mean when I say witnesses. These are people, these are individuals who are there to observe the fruit of instruction in a young person's life. Instruction is witnessed by, notice it again, verse number 2, wisdom. Verse number 2, understanding. It is also witnessed by, verse 3, justice and judgment and equity. Verse 4, subtlety, knowledge, and discretion. Those are the witnesses of instruction. Now, I want to look at these one by one by one, but before we do that, I want to help you to understand why we are talking about these particular words. These are the qualities that automatically produce themselves in the life of a young person who not only is hearing instruction, but is receiving instruction. Now, this instruction may be spiritual, and we hope that it is, but it can also be academic, educational, scholastic. It can be all of those things as far as your education is concerned. It may be disciplinary instruction. In other words, it may be the fruit of someone who says, look, you can't do that and have these privileges, or you can't do that and be comfortable in my presence. It may have a disciplinary flavor or a disciplinary accent to it. But nevertheless, instruction is key. And if you listen to instruction and then learn and apply it, these are the fruits that you will experience in your life. Verse number 2, it will be witnessed by wisdom. It will be witnessed by wisdom. Now listen to this. I want you to help me answer this question, okay? What's the difference between wisdom and intelligence? Can anybody answer that for me? What's the difference between wisdom and intelligence? Is there a student that's willing to give it a shot? Josh, try. That's one aspect of it. Okay, listen to what he said if you didn't hear it. Wisdom is something that you can obtain by prayer. Did I say that right? Wisdom is obtained through prayer, but instruction is something that, how did you say it? Like book learning, so on and so forth. Okay, that's a pretty good way of putting it. All right, wisdom can come by, let's add to Josh's definition here. It can come by prayer. It can also come by the reading of God's word. So spiritual disciplines bring wisdom. Right? Anybody else want to give it a try? What's the difference between wisdom and intelligence? Anybody want to add to something that Josh said here? Can anybody do any better than that? It's pretty good, wasn't it? Okay. Now let's expand on that for just a minute. Okay. There's a big difference between wisdom and intelligence. Okay. Intelligence is the accumulation of facts. I know this. I know this. It can be, you may be intelligent about several different things. You can be intelligent about sports stats. You know, like you may know the height of your favorite NBA player, how many rebounds, how many assists, how many games won, games lost, how many championship rings. You can be intelligent about sports stats. You can be intelligent about we used to call it the TV guide. You may know every time, every episode of every favorite show that you have comes on, and you've pre-programmed all in your mind, and you're ready to get up and get going and make sure that you don't miss a single episode. You may have intelligence about that. You can have intelligence about, you can be computer smart. I am not computer smart. I barely know how to use a computer. I'm learning and I'm doing better, but I'm really not very good at it at all. You can have that kind of intelligence. So intelligence is an accumulation of information or accumulation of facts. All right. Wisdom, on the other hand, is the ability, listen to this, is the ability to use it. To use it. Now here's what I mean, young person. You can acquire loads and loads and loads of facts and be just as unwise as you've always been. You can have this head full of knowledge but not know how to apply it, how to use it. This happens in my profession. I've seen guys go off to seminary and get their head full of facts and come back and kill a church. You know why? Because they have intelligence, but they don't have the wisdom to apply it. And here's what's going to happen in your life. Instruction is going to fill your head with facts. And we are doing that, instructors, especially biblically speaking, we are doing that. We're filling your head full of this information with the hope and the prayer that sometime or another there's going to be a connection made. And a light is going to come on and you're going to say, oh, okay, I get it now. I understand what they're saying. In most cases, when that happens, all of a sudden, this stuff becomes so useful to you. And this information, these facts and all this evidence and these different things that have been taught, it becomes so useful. So the first witness of instruction is wisdom. That's a very important one, and I really wish I had more time to spend with it. But go on. I want to hurry on. Go on down to verse number 2, and this is similar to the first one. The first witness of instruction is wisdom. The second witness of instruction is this word at the end of verse number 2, understanding. Understanding. And when I use the word understanding, what I'm talking about is you've been able to process it. You've been able to put it together. You've been able to either compartmentalize or itemize or whatever you need to do. You've been able to get all of this stuff into the appropriate places in your life, and you understand how wisdom applies. Let me give you a little, or how instruction applies. Let me give you a little insight into that. Okay? How many of you love to have fun? You absolutely love to have fun. I love to have fun. And I go places where fun is supposed to be the only thing that you have to do. Sometimes I like to go to the Magic Kingdom. How many of y'all like the Magic Kingdom? All right, now I'm sidetracked. I got to talk about the Magic Kingdom and why I love going there. What's your favorite ride? Somebody else, what is it, Juan? Space Mountain, what's your favorite ride? Space Mountain again. Splash, did you say Splash Mountain? Back there on the back row, what's your favorite rides? Lily? The Dumbo ride? That's the first time I've ever heard that. What's your favorite ride? Splash Mountain, what's your favorite ride? What? They have motorcycles at the Magic Kingdom. Awesome, man. I got to check that out. I never saw that. Yes, what's your favorite ride? What'd she say? Splash Mountain. Who likes Splash Mountain? Raise your hands. Who likes Space Mountain? Who likes, here's mine. Are you ready for it? Who wants to guess what mine is? No. This is so lame. Your mind's going to be blown. Abby? No. No, my ride is not. It's a small world. Who wants to get teacups? Are you kidding me, man? What kind of man do you think I am? I got to keep my man card, man. I don't like the teacups. Are you crazy? Pirates of the Caribbean. Pirates of the Caribbean. They've had that ride, and it's barely changed since I was a little bitty kid. Now listen to this. When I go to the park, when I go over there, all I intend to do is have fun. That's all I intend to do. And some of you have been there. Let me ask you an interesting question. This would be a real revealing question. How many of you have gone to the Disney parks and you paid to get in? I'm not talking about somebody paid for you. You paid yours. Yeah, look at them hands going down. Uh-huh. Oliver, you never paid. Put your hand down, boy. I know better than that. How many of you went to the Disney parks and you paid to get in? Sebastian, did you pay? All right. Not many hands there. Watch this. Sometimes the fun can be ruined by the cost. Now, are you with me now? I absolutely love to have fun. Sometimes I just can't afford it. Does that make sense? I would go over there every day. I would start a church right on Main Street if they would let me. I would live there if I could every day. Here's the problem. Can't afford it. Now get this with me. I'm going to use my word. Are you ready? I understand that. Did you get that? And here's the thing. There are things as a young person that you crave and that you long for and that you desire. And sadly, if you're not careful, you'll do anything that you can to get it because you don't understand how much it costs. You don't understand how hurtful it is. You don't understand. So what does instruction do? It gives you wisdom. Here's my second word. It gives you understanding. It helps you do the math instead of just having the fun. It helps you contemplate the consequences and the problems that might be brought upon instead of just the fulfillment of having fun. Let's put this in another context before I go on, because I feel like I've hit a nerve here. Let me put this in another context. Let's talk about your relationships. Say, preacher, I've got this girlfriend, and my parents don't like her, and my pastor doesn't like her, and I can't get her to come to church, but man, she's good looking. I mean, she is well put together. She is everything in a bag of chips. She's whatever you want. I don't know how you all say it these days. She's got it going on. She's this, she's that. And watch this with me now. If you're not careful, you will yoke up with her and you will get involved with what very likely is an unbeliever. That's why your parents don't approve. An unbeliever, that's why your pastor doesn't approve. An unbeliever, that's why she won't go to church with you. But you're going to yoke up with her. You know why? You don't understand. You don't get it yet. And so when things like that began to manifest themselves in your life, here's what we say. This kid needs more instruction. This young man needs more learning. This young man hasn't put it together yet. Let me give you my third word. I have to hurry because I'm already getting thin on time here. What's my next verse? Verse 3. You want instruction? Well, verse 2, he closes. He says you get wisdom and instruction with it, a wisdom and understanding with it. Verse 3, you get justice. You get justice. And what we mean when we use the word justice, by the way, that word is followed by the word judgment. They're almost the same. I think they're put together here, justice and judgment and equity, in fact, all three of those, because they're all almost synonymous in this passage of Scripture. Let me tell you what they mean, and I'll get all three of these in one explanation. Are you ready? Justice, judgment, and equity mean being able to make a verdict. Now, when I use the word verdict, what am I talking about? If you've ever seen a court case, there's the evidence from the prosecutor, there's the evidence from the defense, and at the end of it, the jury has to go out. And the jury has to do what? Weigh the evidence. And after they weigh that evidence, then they have to come back in, and the judge stands up and says, jury, have you reached a verdict? And the verdict is either going to be what? Guilty or not guilty. But a jury is not permitted to make judgment without the other two, without justice and equity. They have to hear both sides. They have to hear the case of the prosecution, but they also have to hear the case of the defense, because if they don't get both sides of the story, then they're going to be slanted, they're going to be biased, they're going to be prejudiced, and they're going to deliver an incorrect or an uninformed verdict. And listen to me, young person. One of the main reasons you need instruction is because without instruction, you will not have justice in your life. You'll always, listen to me now, I want you to see this. Everybody look up here, I want you to see this with me. Are you ready for this? You'll always rule in your own favor. You'll always take your own side. You'll always believe your own testimony. You'll always advance your own agenda. And when we see a kid who is never, never, never willing to admit they're wrong, never willing to embrace the fact, I could be wrong about this. I could be misled. I could be so self-absorbed and so full of myself that I don't want to hear any other opinion or any other testimony. When we see somebody like that, you know what the first thing comes into my mind is? That kid needs more instruction. That kid doesn't understand. If your world is all about you, if your world is all, I can tell you when a boy becomes a man, you young ladies listening to me now, y'all listen to me real close. I can tell you when a boy becomes a man, his world is no longer just about him. He includes others in his circle of why he works, in his circle of why he lives for God. It's not just about him. It's about, what can I do to help my family, my kids, my wife, my church, the people that I love? If you're not careful, If you're not careful, you can get caught up in the spider web of self-absorption or self-love. There's a lot of teaching on this these days. If you watch psychiatrists and psychologists on television, like Dr. Phil and all these guys, here's what they're going to tell you. They're going to say, you got to have more self-love. You got to have more self-esteem. I'm here to tell you what the Bible says. We love ourselves too much. We love ourselves way too much, even to the point that it excludes the ability to love others. So you need instruction so that you can have, verse 3, justice and judgment and equity. Do you see that? Verse 4, and I'm done. You need subtlety. Subtlety. What do I mean by that? Subtlety here, he says, is for the simple. Now, I don't want you to be insulted. I don't want you to be insulted. In Proverbs, a simple person is another way of saying a young person. They're simple. That doesn't mean that they're unintelligent. That doesn't mean that they lack in facts or anything of that nature. It just means they're simple, and they're called simple for several reasons. Number one, they're called simple because of inexperience. Inexperience, basically, because they're youth, because you're young, you haven't been through some things, you haven't experienced some things, and that creates a certain condition inside of you that the Proverbs calls being simple. Now, you need to learn how to graduate beyond being simple. Let me tell you something about a young man. You take a kid, let me see here. I'm going to guess, let's make up this boy. What do y'all want his name to be?
Gerald.
Okay, very good. We'll call him Gerald. That's a big accomplishment there, Nathan. You got a good name out of it here. Gerald. All right. Gerald is 12 years old. He's 12 years old. And what does that tell us about Gerald already? He's immature. Thank you, Abby. Very, very good. He's immature. He's 12 years old. All right. That's not meant to be an insult. He's just 12 years old. It's not his fault, right? But he's 12 years old. At that age, let me tell you a couple things about him. If we let him do his own thing and never instructed him, if we let him do his own thing and never taught him, if we never imparted any wisdom or understanding or justice or equity or judgment, if we never gave him discretion and knowledge, if we never gave any of that stuff to him, that 12-year-old young man left to himself, are you ready for it now? Get ready. Never would bathe. You would smell him before you see him if you're walking through the house. He would never bathe. He would never brush his teeth. That'd be terrible, wouldn't it? That 12-year-old young man, what would he eat? Somebody tell me. Would he eat vegetables, green beans? What would he eat, Juan? Huh? Bugs, possibly. Possibly. Maybe. I don't know. That's pretty extreme, Juan. Is that what you've been craving, Juan? You want some bugs, man? Okay, thanks, brother. Pizza. He would eat candy. He would eat junk food. He would just load up and load up and load up chocolate milk and all this kind of stuff. He would stay up all night and sleep all day. Does this sound like anybody you know? He would stay up all night and sleep all day. What would he do? Game. He'd be in the basement. He would never come out in the sun. He would never be active. He'd be really, really just a little teeny tiny emaciated little wormy guy that just games. If we left him to himself, that's what would happen. Now watch this with me. What I want to point out to you is that what Proverbs teaches is that simple mindset, if it's not brought within the pages of God's word and corrected, that simple mindset carries over into adulthood. I know adults that are still behaving that way. Listen to me. I know 40-year-olds that are still simple in their thinking and still behave that way. 40. I know 50-year-olds, a handful of them. By the time you get 20, 25 years old, if this stuff is not starting to purge its way out of your life, you're headed down a road that's going to be very costly, and you don't understand. That young man simply says what? All I know is I just want to play a game. All I know is I just want to sleep late. All I know is I just want some fast food. I don't want to wait for a meal. I don't want to cook a meal that's going to be cheaper. I want to buy something. All I know is I just want to swipe the card. All I know is I don't want to work. I just want to stay home. And that simplicity creates a monster. It creates a terrible, terrible monster. So he says this. He says, I'm here to give you subtlety. Subtlety to the simple, meaning that he wants to grow up your thinking. And the only way that you can do that is through instruction. The last two are in verse number 4. I'm only going to mention them. He talks about knowledge and discretion. It's wisdom and the ability to use it. It's an accumulation of facts with the ability to make an application. It's being able to use the training that has been given to you in your life. If you listen to just what I've said today, the sky's the limit. But there will be those, sadly, that will say, I don't want to hear that. I didn't come for that. I'm not interested in that. I want to do my own thing. And those are the people, sadly, that become the dead weight in Christianity. So my closing remark is this. Get the instruction that is being imparted to you now. You have an abundance of it. You're getting it at church. You're getting it at home. You're getting it and getting it and getting it at school from multiple different sources. That's why God has placed you in the position that you are in right now, so you can receive and receive and receive instruction. And our prayer over and over and over, our prayer is that one day the light bulb will just pop on in your life and you say, I got this. I got this figured out. I understand this. I'm ready to charge into life and do what God has created me to do. Do y'all understand my point here? Instruction.